This episode of the Puru Muay Thai podcast is brought to you by PMTLifestyle.com, authentic Muay Thai lifestyle by Puru. Definitely go check out the website at PMTLifestyle.com for some awesome lifestyle merchandise. That's for those of you out there either involved in Muay Thai, looking at getting involved in Muay Thai, embrace a healthier lifestyle to live the life of a Nak Muay. Go check it out.
Hello, welcome to this episode of the Puru Muay Thai podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 12th, 2023. I have my friend Joshua Saliva, pro fighter. He's been living in Thailand the past couple of years. Came back during COVID, and he's done it all right now. He just fought over again at Roger Dumdun Stadium. If you follow us on TikTok at Puu Muay Thai, currently it's one of the pinned videos. He went viral of us, me taping his hands, the Thai-style hand wrap. Looks very illegal, very sus, but it is very much not illegal. And Josh is back in. How are we doing? It's almost 10:30 there, right? 10:30 p.m.?
Yeah, 10:30. Yeah, p.m. at night.
Sweet, man. Well, what have you been up to? Man, the last time you were on the podcast was when I was out there in Thailand. And obviously, you've been talking on the American Kumite secret group chat.
Yeah, 100%, man. That's where the real action, man. That's the what do you call it? Central intelligence.
The central intelligence of America, the growth, the grassroots movement of American Muay Thai in Thailand, right?
There's gonna be we're working on some stuff for sure. Me and Jonathan have some things cooking up here.
The last time you fought before this past time was when you fought Roger Dumdun with Arms of Promotion, right, from Sassy Papa Gym.
Yeah. So I fought, So I didn't realize I was fighting on, it was a Sassy Prapa collaboration with RWS.
I saw that. That's pretty cool. That's good for him.
Yeah, it's cool because then, so you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then they cycle through promoters, and the promoters have a certain day where they can bring their people they have on their promotion and then collab with the.
That's really smart. That's really smart that they do that.
It was really cool because the rule set has changed. Like they were like explaining on the rules, like you have 2 minute like rest time, and I'm like in my head, like I'm ready to go. I'm like I fucked. I was like didn't realize it was super long. You know, we were in between rounds.
So they're giving it. Is it five rounder or is it still three rounder?
Three rounds, 2 minute breaks, and then there's also like there's all these other things I forgot they were like talking about, man.
You got me wondering, man. Now I'm curious about it, but that's good that because normally that's what it was. It was 2 minute break between rounds there, and the whole international style is the 1 minute, which is like what these entertainment shows have been doing.
And that's what I'm used to. Because I didn't know I was fighting on the RWS. I didn't know I was fighting the RWS until kind of like last minute, where I was like, "Oh, you're fighting on a Saturday. Oh shit!
Wait, like that's a big show."
Yeah, that's the RWS show, and I'm like, oh, okay. Are you sure? I wasn't even sure I was fine. I was like, are you sure? You know, and it's all good. It's all good. Like experience, you know, get the experience up. You know.
Yeah. Well, that comes into it. Like a lot of people, we talk about like contracts. Oh, did you get a contract? It's like, no, man. You just go out there and go do the thing. Like you had three opponent switches too.
Yeah. Each time, you know, it hasn't been. It's developing a callus, a psychological callus, which is really good for me because now I'm just like I'm in a mindset where I'm like, fuck it. You know what I mean? Like it's happened. And it's happened to the best, you know, like Lurzilla talks about like Muay country, like even on the countryside, it's a little bit more wild. You know, they're just eyeballing you. Happened to me probably in the first podcast. I was talking about my experience with my first fight coming back to Thailand, everything. But like it's going to be constant switch ups. I see it happen to like almost everybody. Yeah. Last minute switch ups. Like I think we talked on the secret group chat about cherry picking and all of that stuff. Like not cherry picking is the way, But I there's people that have talked to me and they're like, oh bro, but like, you know, you should like do this and like think it out. But then I'm like, you know, man, like throw me in the wild. It's all good, man. Like Muay Thai is, it's like you see the best, you know, the best have the most like wildest records. You know what I mean? Like, you know, 100 something fights, 20 losses, you know, Danny Bill talked to me about his Muay Thai journey. I got to find the footage of that. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, I lost like 10 times in a row, like before I even got momentum, you know, yeah. And like, it was like, I was like, I just kept going. I just said, fuck it. You know?
There's another fighter back in the 90s, one of the golden era ones. I don't know if it was Ole, but he was on a 7-fight losing streak before he went on and became like, he got like fighter of the year.
And that's the one thing I want to say on the, I was always wanting to say on a podcast is that like part of like growing up in America, you know, and I go to gyms or I see gyms doing seminars on like people and they're like, this guy is X, Y, Z and O.
Yeah, he's 11-0. It's like, what?
Yes. You know, and the thing is, it's like, okay, with the boxing, with the Western boxing, you can approach, try to play politics and approach with, you know, trying to protect the undefeated thing. I understand that, you know, there's like a whole different thing. MMA, you can do it somewhat. But the thing is, in Muay Thai, it is impossible. It is impossible, 100%. The best guys, Nam Sak Noi, like everybody, you know what I mean? They the one thing is like you take too much time off trying to like cherry pick and pick your or try to come up with this philosophy, approach Muay Thai with this philosophy. That one guy, that one Thai kid, he's already fighting every month and he's racking up ring IQ, ring experience. Mm. And you're over here trying to protect a simple zero on your record. That's time lost.
Exactly. Time yeah. Lost. All of a sudden you're that guy has 6 fights on you and you've only had one that time, you know?
Yeah. And it's, so it comes down to like I see people and they're you know, it, but in reality, you have to really, really Muay Thai, the way I would say it, and the thing is just being in the most uncomfortable, grittiest, like just shittiest. If you're having real adversity and your shit's all fucked, you're doing Muay Thai. Like you're banged up, you're fucked, you're broke, whatever circumstance, whatever that is, that's like perfect. You're doing Muay Thai. You're in the fucking battlefield. Like you're just doing this shit.
Yeah.
And when it comes to stand up, we have to eliminate this. Like I have this undefeated. No, just everybody fight each other. F it. Just everybody fight each other.
You know, it was interesting. You're mentioning this because I just actually read my friend Mitch. Shout out to Mitch Viquez. He's a longtime friend of mine. He works at the UFC now, and yeah. He sent me his thing. It was the history of kickboxing in MMA, and it talked about how like. All this stuff, like how it started back in like the 50s, 60s, 70s, and how it led into all these strikers who ended up going into Muay Thai and how they adopted this mindset of utilizing like what you're talking about in building for like, you know, like the Rufus Training Center. They have all the top MMA strikers. I always like to relate it to MMA too, Josh, just so you know, yeah. Because people are, the audience is still learning this stuff, right? So
100%.
And that generation, look what they did, right? And they didn't do half of what this generation is doing in regards to like going out to Thailand and living out there and doing these things, right?
Yeah, it's really good to see. I've seen a couple of Americans fight abroad at the stadium. Mm. It's really good because then we bring this back and then there is an unraveling of the curtain right now, I would say there's the revelation when it comes to the striking in America. And there's people like me and you that are like really in the lifestyle and understanding and documenting things. Mm. And then there's going to be people are going to develop and they're going to see things for what they are. And they're going to develop a eye for like, okay, but you really need to like, where's the pinnacle? You know, we got to set our eyes where the pinnacle is.
Yeah.
You
know? Hey, Josh, I'm going to flip around the camera on TikTok because I think people want to see your face, just who you are. Don't worry about you. You still look handsome, bro. Don't worry.
You're good.
Yeah. Let me just go ahead. Let me get this flipped around for you guys. I'm pretty sure you can see from here. TikTok. Oh, there we go. Yeah, I got TikTok, bro. You have a famous face. That's why.
Yeah.
You got a famous face. People want to see you, bro. So, yeah, it's this whole generation right now. And there's a lot of good things going on in the space of like Muay Thai, kickboxing, and striking here in the United States is definitely getting more and more like, I guess, where it should be. We're catching up with the rest of the world. Would you agree with that?
I agree. The first thing I would say is that the more open-minded we are as a country and open to things and ideas and like, whether it's traveling to another country living or just being like, okay, this guy came from here and let's see what, just being and be able to like do all of that, man. I feel like the improvement's going to happen drastically, you know. It's like I come in and like, oh no, but like America, we have a Thailand here, you know, and all of this is like, no, go explore something, go see, open yourself to other cultures, do all that, you know. Like I feel like we're hit onto a good thing, because I'm starting to see a lot of Americans now.
Yeah, there's more and more. Who's the other Filipino that was just over there from America?
Travis.
Yeah, Travis Petralba. So yeah. He was over there. He's hanging out. He's fighting like the Max Muay Thai stuff over at Sit Yat Tong. And yeah, I know you guys linked up and stuff too. So I think we were talking briefly about this, and I see somebody here says not everyone can go to Thailand on TikTok. Absolutely, Zachary. You know, it's one of those things that we understand. It's a privilege to be able to do this, and a lot has been sacrificed from Josh. I know him personally. A lot of sacrifice for me. I've talked about it here on the podcast too. I sold my blood for this stuff. You've essentially done the same thing, man. Like I can't imagine some of the shit you've done that you probably haven't even like processed.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, man. Like, fuck, dude. Like, there's a lot of things, you know, trying to work and then just being out of place for a while. Just constantly, like, not, you know, wasn't even training for a while, you know, and just had to sacrifice that time to make money and then save money up and do all that crazy shit. Yeah. Normal work and people that are just wired for training and training only, like me, you go into like a 9-to-5, that's like, fuck, I need to get myself out of this fucking matrix, man.
Yeah. It's pretty like wild to see, like, just like you said, the sacrifice that it takes to get to where you're at. People are always going to kind of look at it like, oh, I can't do that. It's like, oh, you can, but like, what does it take to get to there? You know,
everything, you know, if you want gain, you have to subtract something, you know. It's like the law, you know. It's like, if you want to gain something, you have to like also discard something. Everything comes at a trade-off, a sacrifice. It's like, yeah, I made the thing, you know. That's why I'm going back to the States next month. But then it's like, yeah, I made all these sacrifices. Some guy was like, you live a free flow lifestyle. But I'm like, yeah, but I'm kind of like broke as fuck right now.
Yeah, man, you go back to the U.S. It's like, what, are you technically homeless?
You know, I'm good. You know what I mean? And it's just like, but the thing is like, you know, it's like everything comes at it. You have to give something, you know. There's going to be repercussions. You just got willing to.
What I'm gathering you're saying is you're not putting your fight purse money into a 401k back in the U.S.
No. I do have like, you know, like there's always have a plan, you know, like when this, but of course fighting, when you're young, you have to, how do you say, take advantage of like your youth, you know, because fuck, it only time goes by. What, how long has it been since the pandemic, since COVID-19? How many years? What, like 3 or 4 years now?
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
That's a big chunk, man. Yeah, all of a sudden I'm 34.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Oh, old man.
Your eyes, you know, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh fuck, what did I do in the last, and I was just like, some guy was depressed, you know, I was trying to help him. He's like, but you're doing this, you're doing that. I'm like, well, okay, forget what I'm doing. You have to focus on what you're doing and what you got to do step by step. Like, it's always like the moment we find ourselves looking unhealthily at another person's life, someone else's life, that means we got to make immediate, start looking at ours and start making immediate changes. You know what I mean? It's the best. Focusing on yourself and improving yourself, like at least you start that journey, then boom, you know, some shit will explode, whether it's business, fighting, whatever, you know, it's like universal.
That's, yeah. And kind of like, you know, for stuff to do, like imagine if like you, like, let's say you can't get to Thailand, people's situations are different, right? So like,
yeah,
How long were you training? How many years were you training in the U.S.? And, like, I think you got the chance to go to Switzerland, like, to coach a bit. Yeah. How long were you training in the U.S. before anything like that came up? How many years?
Oh, man, bro. It was on and off, man. Man, it'd be a couple of months and I would have to do something else, kind of focus on like working. Like I had to constantly like change and do go back and forth, you know. I didn't really get to train consistently. The only times where I was training, like teaching people and training, but not really, really focused on myself. You know, I didn't have the time. Most of that time would be towards like focusing on other people and making like teaching privates, working. I was doing a plumbing job. I even did sales, man. I even like fucking went into a sales job. You know what I mean?
And what were you selling?
Gym memberships.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And we just, man, I didn't have the patience for it, man. But like it all played out, you know, destiny and everything, man. Like, and so, it sounds like I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. How many years were you training martial arts until the first time you got to go to Thailand?
Okay. I would say, okay, 2000, well, like, maybe about 10 years.
10 years.
10 years, yeah.
10 years before you got to make the trip to Thailand. This is, I'm like repeating this for everybody that kind of is like, oh, is it too late? It's like, man, and how old are you, Josh?
27.
Okay. Trained, ten, you know, 10 years before you went to Thailand.
Yeah, it was like I was started young, but then it was like it was constant, but I was still like focused on the path and just constantly fixated on martial arts in general. Mm-hmm. Like just being constantly at home, even if I wasn't really being productive, but I was constantly like, man, like every time watching Muay Thai fights or even just like just constant old school golden era Muay Thai fights nonstop.
Dude, that's why I don't think people realize, and I always like to say this as a reminder to people, we didn't always have YouTube, you know?
Yeah.
And when YouTube was around, people weren't uploading stuff to it. People weren't making content. I just posted a throwback podcast. So it was me, David Huerta, and Joe Schilling, my friend Dan Mayid, on a podcast. And it was the only podcast that would take Muay Thai fighters. And it was a freaking, like, you know, bless them. But it was about, it was a soap opera podcast where they're talking about a soap opera TV show. And they had us on as guests because there was no media. There's none.
That's amazing, man.
It's crazy. It's funny to see where we've gone, right? Now we have like RWS, all this. It's wild.
Man, that promotion is, man, like the stadium. Like even I'm going to go corner my friend. He's fighting on one fight night. So that's the 21st, I think, Friday. Right. And he's fighting, what's his name? Semen Petch, the Fairtex guy.
Oh, he's fighting Semen Petch?
Yeah. He was supposed to fight Felipe Lobo. He was supposed to fight Ferrari, but Ferrari pulled out and they switched up on him last minute again.
Yeah. Thailand, baby.
And, you know, it's like the foreigners, but it's interesting to see, to understand and, like Felipe is a good friend of mine and to understand his mind because he's a foreigner that has been successful in Muay Thai, you know, and he's played the Thai game with the Thais and he's a foreigner. So it's like, it's amazing, man. He fought, his last fight was Nong O and he fought Nong O in 2 weeks short notice. It was a last minute replacement because when Russia did all the things in Ukraine, they pulled out all the Russian fighters.
Yeah, because they did that. They canceled all the Russian fighters, essentially.
Yeah, and so he took it in with two weeks before the thing. It's like people see the fight for what it was, but they don't know the background story. You know what I mean? And
that's so often the case in Muay Thai.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's like. It's like, okay, like for example, I lost my last fight on RWS, but then I was training for a Chinese guy that was southpaw for like a month. And then later on I find out, you know what I mean? And it's like these things are normal. It's cool. But like these things you get used to it. You develop a back home, it's like, oh, but you know, we're so lucky. We are so lucky when it comes to the, like, you know, we get it, everything, like, which I understand, But then when you come out here, it's just like, okay, you're a kid. You're going to ride this motorbike. You're going to ride this motorbike and you're just going to fucking wing it. You know what I mean? That's the mentality out here.
Yeah. You're gonna, and then, hey, you're going to get food, bring it back. Okay. Where do I go? Go figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's yeah. like, come back banged up, broken arm. It's like, hey, but you got the food, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm just like, man, you know, like, but it does, it definitely does give you something. Cause then you're like, and then your mind's like, okay, I've trained my ass off every day. And then you're like, I just, at this point, I don't even care what the hell happens, what the outcome happens. I'm just going to try to do whatever the best to keep my capabilities, what I can do, you know? Mm. And so it's like, you reach the norm. The norm is already like intense already. You know what I mean? Mm. Like, I don't know how to, if I'm wording it right. My thing's all, but the norm and the like, what is the thing? It's already intense, but then you go back to like a different country and it's more easier. It's more easy to do.
Oh yeah, you go from chaos to something that has a little bit more like more controlled different. And you know what to expect, right? So you can control yeah. the variables a little bit more, where like Thailand, you can't really control a lot of the stuff that happens. And you have, and it's either you fight or you don't. So if you choose not to, you're not going to be active because you can't control all the variables, as many of the variables there that you could in the West, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it definitely, it's like, for me, it just feels like a psychological nitrous boost, you know, where you're just like, all right, fuck it. I've been in the worst conditions, but then I actually get something that's actually really good. And, oh man, I'm eating.
Yeah. Hey, so let's go into this. You just bought your ticket back to the US?
Yeah, I'm booking my ticket back to the US May 1st. And then I'm talking to some Western boxing coaches because there's things that I like. One guy, one of my friends from the UK, he made a good point. He was like giving me motivation after my fight. Like, you know, like you did good and you'll come back and you'll be better. And then one thing he said is that, you know, sometimes we learn a lot of good things. Everything is like, we learn a lot of good things in Thailand, but then we can also get some slight bad habits. You know what I mean? Some slight bad habits, you know?
But like what?
I can see what he's saying. I like, there's some things, you know, like sometimes foreigners, we have to fight differently. You know what I mean? Sometimes we have to fight when we're coming against, and then we end up doing the thing that playing the game that what do you call it? The Thais are fucking been doing since they were like, you know, really thing. So sometimes when foreigners beat Thais, even with like, I have a friend Tagir, he just knocked what's that guy, that Black Panther guy from Fairtex, he just knocked him out with a liver shot. Mm. You know, in the first round, first 30 seconds, you know. And so one of his things was like, he's like, we need, you know, sometimes we can't play the Muay Thai game with the Thais. Just you know, and we use athleticism, that's the Russian speaking, athleticism, our boxing, our hands, you know what I mean? And all these things, because it's like, sometimes it's not easy. But then also Felipe is telling me like, oh, okay, what we need to do is focus on the conditioning and the running. It's basically the same thing. Thai people, they run since they're like babies. Mm-hmm. So just, they're not really motivated when they run, but they'll do it because that's like a part of the routine.
Yeah.
But then it's like, it's also like, they won't run more than a certain amount. And Felipe, what he did and what his bread and butter was, he's like, I run about like a certain amount of kilos in the morning, yeah. You know, and he's always, you have to do a little bit more than what the Thai people are doing. You know what I mean?
That, and which is a fucking lot, man. Cause those guys are running like 10 kilometers in the morning.
Yeah. I was like trying to keep up with him and shit. Fuck, I was in physiotherapy, man. Like, oh, you're already about 1,000 baht fucking physiotherapy. Like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm limping to practice. And then they're like, you want to spar? Kai, sparring time. I'm like, fuck, my legs. Like, fucking.
And was that from running?
From running, yeah. The running is what got me.
But, yeah, you have to definitely build into that mileage stuff, man. Because I have really flat feet. My brother, he's a really talented runner. He could, and yeah. If I try to, like, if he tries to pace me on a run, we can do the same distance, but if I pace him for a run, my legs will get messed up.
Yeah. I get tension, like it gets tense. But then now, like, I learned how to, like, I understand when my thing, but also when I changed and I went with Peepa, he's like, there's all these gyms, the big gyms with a lot of foreigners, and there's a thing, and the trainers have to really, really, like, rush and take care of everyone, you know? And one thing he said was, okay, everyone, like, pads and they rush through things, but it's like, in actuality, everyone needs individualized training. Like, everyone, okay, this person's been running every day, but you need someone to tell them, all right, hey, look, the coach needs to be like, you chill out for a bit, don't run today, but then lift. You know what I mean?
They need to be able to monitor their training a little bit closer, right? Yeah. So that way, like you said, personalized.
Yeah, personalized the training. And he's even one thing too, it's like the traditional Thai running, you know, that the coaches would be like, okay, you run like a fucking in the morning, a 10K, 7K, 8K, whatever requirement the gym has, you go and do that. But then for him, he's like, nah, man, like, you don't got to run every day. You're not a fucking, like, your body's not like thing like that. Okay. Yeah. You do a minimum of a 5K. All the main energy should be focused on pad and sparring in the bag. That's because that's what you're actually doing. You know what I mean? And then if you're doing things, sprints, you know what I mean? So completely, like, his shit's completely, completely different. Okay, you see 20 kicks on the pads. He's like, nah, fuck that. Fuck the 20 kicks on the pads. I want 5 kicks hard and good and quality.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's where, like, this older style training and stuff too, where it comes into, like, the quality over quantity, right? Like, as you said, a lot of people get the misinterpretation. They go to these gyms that have a lot of foreigners, and the trainers just are trying to, like, make sure everybody's taken care of, right? Well intentioned. Yeah, but they need like to get the one-on-one, like the mentorship you're getting from Ajahn Peepa, right?
Yeah.
Like that's not common.
It's okay. A perfect example of a foreigner with a good relationship with a teacher that's like this is Michael Savas and Ajahn Watt.
Yeah.
And that's the outcome of that. You know what I mean? That's the outcome. And it's like you get that individualization, and you're like, okay, I throw my teep. This is how he wants me to throw the teep, and for this reason, because it's not strenuous on the joints. So I can have longevity in my training. I can have longevity in my training because I'm angling and I'm practicing so that my body takes less pain and damage. You know, even teep in the bag like 500 times. You know what I mean? But then it's like, is the anatomy right? Am I doing this properly? Is this, we need, this is important, because then we're just trying to tread on water, you know, and we're just doing all this, we're exerting all this energy, but not really taking the time to refine, like, actually, why do I feel like shit if I throw the teep like this? Why am I constantly in pain?
Versus, yeah. Or why can't I relax when I throw it?
Exactly. You know? And so there's always these things, man, go, 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 go. The conditioning is important, but also you got to incorporate, like, that's the one thing that's being with the whole culture of everything right now. Everything is like, get the knockout, like, get the bonus and everything. But then it's like, everything is speed, speed, speed. It's not like before where they're like, okay, yes, conditioning, but also take the time for the technique, take the time for the thing. A lot of gyms are getting rid of that. You know, sometimes you just like, just clinch on, learn on your own. Just I'll give you slight technique when you're on the pads, and then you can try it in sparring. Mm. You know what I mean? So it's like, but then if you have I respect the gyms that are not really mainstream. I have more respect. Well, like, I have respect for the good name gyms, but then there's the gyms that are not mainstream, but then you go into, and you never heard of this gym. You go in there, and then they're like, the teacher's like giving you the fucking, you're writing, you're taking notes.
Yeah, you're getting like, gold.
Yeah. You know, and that's the best, in my opinion. You know what I mean? Those small low key gyms.
Yep. I feel you 100%, man. And that's where it's like, a lot of these like powerhouse places that like allow, you know, that have these massive online social media presences, and it attracts a lot of foreign fighters. Those places you can get good training, but then you miss out on some of those in-betweens. And What I've noticed is a lot of the people who are doing the best at those powerhouse gyms, like those, like the Phuket Fight Clubs and stuff, they spent time in Bangkok doing stuff like what you're doing and learning how to win and learning the technique. And then they go there once they figured out a little bit like how they're going to win fights and how they're going to perform, then they go over to a place like that and they're like, okay, now it's a numbers game.
Yeah. That's the best time when you refine your craft to the point where you can kind of coast off with it. You know what I mean? Mm. And then you go and then you have all these people to work with, mm-hmm. which is the best. You get all these people and then you have all these training partners to work with and all of that. That's the one thing that's important. You get the good coach that you think, but then you also need training partners and also healthy gym culture, man. Like there's too much crazy shit. And when we're in the international thing, there's like different cultures, different people. I see a lot of misunderstanding all the time. Lots of conflict, you know?
Oh, yeah. That's not bad. Integrating in Thailand is different. Some cultures do not have a good time. It's like a bit hard no for them to do some of the stuff, right?
Yeah. It's like American meets some person from Europe, you know, and the timing is different, you know? It's like, I want this shit now. Like, you tell me the time and day. The other person is like, I'm going to like fucking... 3 hours later on, like, oh, you're just responding. Little things, you know, little etiquette, different countries, you know, but the more you know how to adapt and you change and do all of that, then everything's all right, you know.
Well, like we were talking about, you connected me with Danny Bill. We had Danny Bill at our gym. You're like, yeah, I forgot to tell you, he's very European. I'm like, ah, got it. Like, I was just instantly like, yeah.
Yeah.
He'll show up. It's just a matter of when and how.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? And it's very simplistic. We're a little bit more complex because we're in the matrix, you know, we're constantly in that go, 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 go.
Yeah.
You know, mentality. Then if you go like to Europe, I'm sure you were like in Norway or something.
Yeah.
It's a little bit slow pace, you know, like, oh, I'm just going to go on by my day and chill.
You know? Yeah, it's like, wait, what? You're not going to go work? It's like, no, I'm going to go hike. Like,
yeah,
I'm gonna go have some coffee. Yeah, I go have coffee, sit by the fjord, and then I'll go. I might work tomorrow.
yeah, some shit like that, you know, like, yeah, it's freaking crazy, man. But it's funny, man. You start to see, like, you know, you integrate in Thailand, you see a bunch of people and the foreigners. If they're not here for Muay Thai and they're not here for like martial arts. Yeah, stay away, you know, stay away.
Yeah, for sure. Ignore the red flag. Run away from the red flags. Don't ignore them.
Man, you know, there's the fights, man. They got a lot of interesting fights coming up. And ONE Championship's having a event in Denver next month.
Yeah, May 5th in Denver, Colorado. On Friday, I'm interviewing Edgar Tabarez, the one who's fighting Rod Tang, the guy from Mexico.
Mexican guy, yeah, that's gonna be nice.
Yeah, I think, you know, like Rod Tang, it's a step up in competition for him, and we've seen a couple of the Mexican fighters who do well, but they've been fighting and living in Thailand, and we've seen some of them choke. So Tabarez is good. I think if he's gonna win, it's gonna be by a cut. I don't think he's gonna knock him out personally, obviously, but I think he could win by cut.
Yeah. That'd be interesting, you know, because Rod Tang was supposed to fight Superlek. He pulled out of that. I remember that was like he was had his wedding and everything. I saw him at Roger Dumnern Stadium before all of this, you know what I mean? And it seemed like he was enjoying his marriage, you know, and all these things. And but damn, man, I think like the Superlek and Rod Tang is the one, man. Who would you think, in your opinion, would win?
It's kickboxing rules, right?
Muay Thai. I think they're going to do Muay Thai.
Because they were supposed to fight in kickboxing rules. Remember that?
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
So kickboxing rules, Superlek all day. And I actually think in Muay Thai, I think Superlek would win also. Given where Rod Tang's – like I've talked about this with a couple people. And he's experienced a lot of success. And you've seen it. When you experience a lot of success, some people continue to push and reap those benefits, and some people kind of plateau for a bit, and they get caught up in this whole success game. And, you know, I think he either needs to get, like, I don't know how focused he is in the gym right now, But based upon what I'm hearing, he probably needs to either like get in or get out right now for a bit and make a decision. Like if he's going to be in, he has to be in and focus on training, right? And taking care of his body, resting, getting his sleep, all that stuff during the daytime. Or he needs to take some time off and step away for a bit. That way he can enjoy his family, his new family and all that stuff. And then come back to it in like, you know, 7 or 8 months.
Yeah, man. You know, it's crazy, man. Like, Super, there's something when I've met both of them in person, actually. I met both of them at the last big one championship event. And it seemed like Super Leg has a good understanding of like he's not letting all of the fame and all that crazy stuff get to him. Mm-hmm. You know?
And same with Nang Eo. It's the same way. They're very just chill.
You can see the demeanor, you know, like, it's okay, you know, it's okay. But then I saw Rod Tang was everywhere. You know, he was doing a lot of things and doing that. And it's like you become sometimes the superstardom or becoming a celebrity kills the fighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's where
same thing what happened to Super Bond.
Yep. And that's where I get a lot of respect for people like George St. Pierre. He did it very well.
Yeah.
You know, he wrote that and he continued training. It's like, you know, he said, you know, like some people, they get the success and then all of a sudden they're in a mansion with these silky sheets. It's like, man, it's hard to get up and go run in the morning.
Yeah.
It's like where in town you wake up and you're arm to arm with like five other dudes in a small ass room. And you're like, man, I just want to get the fuck out of here and go run. Yeah. I want to go train. Like, you know, fuck this. You know, so you're like, you're striving for that peak. And it's like, what happens when you get there? Are you able to keep pushing or are you done?
No, you know, that's the thing, you know, it's like people like, man, I had a thing where I was like, damn, I'm fighting. Like I did the weigh-in. I was like, damn, I'm fighting on this shit. I was on the motorbike, back of the motorbike. I'm like, damn, I'm fighting on this shit. And the thing is like some guys, like I remember some guy telling some other guy, like, let me know when you make it. It was like a smart remark or whatever. But then I'm like in my head, like just like thinking about that, I'm like, you know, man, like that's not the end all be all, because the path to improvement is a never ending one. Like you can become like, you can fight on the one show, but then if you get complacent just because of that reason, then it's like you're constantly, no matter what, even if you win, you're constantly gonna be like, fuck, what I need to do to like make myself better. You know, like, what am I going to do? It's never going to end, man. Like, even when you're finished with fighting, you're like, fuck, I got to improve my situation. I got to, like, make a business. I gotta do something.
This is where I had Mark Peace from Australia. He has multiple world champions right now. You know who Chad Collins is, right?
Yeah.
He's Chad Collins' trainer now. And a couple of other guys. And he was telling me, he's like, hey, if you get to a point in this game where you think you know everything, he's like, it's time to get out.
Yeah.
He's like, it's time to leave. He's like, otherwise you're just going to get hurt. You're going to mess stuff up. Like, it's not a good time to be in it and you're going to get stomped on.
Yeah, man. It totally, man. It never ends, man. Like even the fights, like I go into fights, like I've been obsessed, man. Like every after the fight, I'm like, I'm constantly doing shit on replay. Like what, and then thinking about what I did wrong. Even honestly, like I'm more grateful for the downs and, you know, the loss and the win, you know what I mean? The win, okay, I can just easily just be like, all right, and then just brush it off my shoulder, you know. But it's hard to have the same analysis. You have that analysis when you lost, like, okay, fuck, I need to work on this and that, you know what I mean? But then when you win, it's your responsibility to still do the same. It's still your responsibility to reflect and be like, okay, I need to work on this. And let me be realistic with myself. Let me not lie to myself. Just because I won, it doesn't mean that I have, like, I'm ready to stand all be all. I just need to improve on more shit. There's a lot of things I need to improve on. Not many people go through that thought process when they win. But when they lose, it's automatic. It's like, fuck, I need to really, like, it reveals you to yourself more raw than just having a little bit of success. People can let that shit get in their head and then they don't have the time to actually really, really assess what they need to work on or acknowledge what they really need to work on.
You know? Yeah, they try to blame other things, outside factors. And it's like, well, it comes down to is you.
Yeah. everything, you know, like everyone, we are all capable of manifesting what we want for ourselves. You know what I mean? We are all capable. And it's just a matter of like, are we willing to like take the action, do whatever it takes? You know, there was a quote when I used to train at Phuket Talk Team. It said, if it's important enough to you, you'll find a way. You know what I mean? It's like, you have these quotes like for people, there's a lot of people in and out that come to the gym, and it's like, it feels like a freaking Star Wars, like freaking Jedi fucking thing right there. It's like, if it's important enough to you, you'll find a way. So everyone's on their journey, but then they see that shit. I'm like, yeah, there's no excuses. There's no excuses. Like I lost and I had my reasons, you know, and now I'm reflecting on it. And now I'm better because I'm acknowledging what's wrong with me, you know?
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Would you ever be game to fight in a rope, Kachuk?
Yeah, man, I'm down, you know, like there is like, it just depends. You know what I mean? I like right now, man, the stadium Rogers is fucking, I'm obsessed with that stadium. There's just something about that stadium. Like there's going to be things like they're even, they even asked me later on if I wanted to fight bare knuckle, you know what I mean? And the thing too, cause the owners at the gym, they're like investors. But then the thing is too, is like, man, like Roger though, man, Roger is just such a like fucking, I'm obsessed with freaking that stadium, man. Like that tree, everything old, like since the Second World War, like the production. The production is fucking nuts too, man.
Yeah, it's crazy what they did to that place since COVID.
Yeah. Cause then the moment they started painting everything and actually like doing everything, polishing that little, the wood thing we get oiled on, you know?
It was just, cause it was just ratty ass piece of wood before. Now they like buffed it up and they epoxied it so that way they can preserve it.
Yeah. That shit's nuts, dude. Imagine the amount of fucking the people that got oiled on those fucking, you know, the legends and shit that just like, you're at Raja all the time. You run into the names of the big names of Muay Thai, you know, like fucking, what's his name? Pesh Morakot after my fight was like, actually like looked at me and was like, hey, like good shit. I'm like, damn. I'm like, I was watching you like 2 days, like 2 weeks ago. You know what I mean? I'm like, damn, it just becomes the norm now. You know, you just don't like extremity is just your best friend when you're doing Muay Thai. You're constantly just extreme mode. Just constantly doing extreme shit.
Yeah. And it's just living it. It's like it's you're living in chaos.
Yeah, and you coexist. You find that thing that you coexist, man. Just my thing is just that, like man, I just I'm glad that there's more American people coming to the States, because the one thing that like what happened to karate in the 80s, you know, when everyone was like saw they can market this, you know, and capitalize and make money, and then you had all these like just make dojos in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the one thing is important is that we sell, when it comes to the people, it go for anywhere, we're selling the truth. We're not selling the fake thing. We're selling the reality.
We're not selling the dim mock.
Yeah, we're not selling that, all that, you know. We give the people just it's more than just like real or fake. It's like the country, the people, the nation, you know, the nation of Muay Thai, the people in America. Are we made like, you know, at least we have a platform that can educate people on like people coming to Thailand and fighting, and also like the person that didn't come to Thailand but all is like a super expert, like I don't know, you know what I mean? Like I think it's important, you know. I think it's important. Because we can put people in danger. We can fuck people up. I don't know. I'm just freestyling now.
it's definitely a different time, new era, new generation. And I think the next 10 years in Muay Thai are probably going to be some of the most I don't want to speak out loud because I don't want to say anything that is not going to actually happen. But I see there being a lot of potential in the next, like, I say 7 to 8 years, but I'm going to say go longer and say 10. 7 to 8 years.
Now is the best time to be in Muay Thai.
Yeah.
It's the best time. Now it's exploded, and with Lumpini, Raja competing, and then all these new promotions and everyone kind of like leveling up and and trying to take care and like clean up everything, like all of that stuff, it's already like, it's already the best time. And Thailand now is kind of became one of the headquarters for ONE Championship. ONE Championship went into nearly almost every ecosystem, MMA, Muay Thai, like all these countries, disrupted their ecosystem. The K1, the rain, all that, the pride, right? You got that in Japan. Had disrupted the ecosystem in Thailand when it came to Roger Moon Stadium. But then also now they're going to America, you know? And so it's like the one has drastically, like, the truth is that it's a way bigger organization than UFC now.
Yeah, and it definitely is. I was just talking to my friend Mitch, who I was mentioning before, and I talked about this on the podcast yesterday. I think UFC will always be the thing for MMA, but when it comes into martial arts and combat, I think ONE FC is going to be the thing.
Yeah, and but now that it's like, now the whole determining factor is how this event will go in the States, you know what I mean? And how will the American people react to this for the first time seeing this?
Well, it's sold out. It's not a giant arena, but it's like, it's a basketball, like a small size basketball stadium that sold out.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's interesting. I'm just happy, man. I'm happy, like, the spread of martial arts and everything in the States, and like, man, I think it's good, especially all the crazy shit we're going on with society, you know. Put your kid in a Muay Thai class. That would be the best way to guide them through, you know, puberty and all that crazy shit, you know, and all the crazy stuff they're doing with all this, with the children, you know.
Well, hey, I got to get going, my friend. It was great talking to you. Is there anything that you want to say out there to the Muay Thai community? You know, we have some more stuff coming up. You've been recurring guests here on the Putin Muay Thai podcast, and for that, I'm very grateful. Anything you want to say to anybody?
Just constantly, the moment you accomplish one goal, already have 2 to 3 goals already lined up. You got to constantly have something. You have to constantly have an idea, set the plan, time management and everything, and understand what the process is to accomplish that goal. But constantly, after you already do one thing, already forget about the, like, for example, you have a fight, forget about what happened, focus on the next best thing. Constantly have the next best thing in mind and execute. The most important thing is taking action and executing. That's the number one thing.
Those are facts right there, man. Thank you for dropping that, Josh. Hey, I appreciate you being on here, your friendship. I know we're going to talk more outside of this, but if you're listening on Putin Muay Thai podcast, check out the show notes. I'll link Josh's Instagram on there. Go hit him, give him a follow. Make sure to follow Putin Muay Thai on TikTok, Instagram at Putin Muay Thai. And remember, eat, sleep.
Deep.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much for tuning to this episode of the Putin Muay Thai podcast. If you enjoyed the content, please make sure to subscribe and follow at Putin Muay Thai on Instagram and on TikTok. You can also check out our YouTube channel. Everything is down in the show notes. Without our supporters like you, we would not be here. We appreciate everything, but everything does come with a price, right? My ask is, if you enjoy this podcast and want to continue to support us, please go check out the Amazon reviews link that's down in the show notes. Also, if you like Muay Thai merchandise, we have custom hand wraps. We're working on getting some custom Muay Thai shorts. We have shirts, sweats, joggers, everything that's Muay Thai related down in our show notes at pmtlifestyle.com. And if you like this podcast, please go leave a review. It's free. That's my biggest ask. Thank you so much. Sawadee Kap.